Cheers, everybody. We are back. A little too zoomed in there, but we are back for another edition of Bourbon on a Budget. It's TJ Pittenger and Brendan Sinone. The worst two parts of this show. We're back to you live.
Where's Ben?
Where'd Ben go? Ben's gone.
Ben's on vacation.
Ben missed the review last week. He's missing the show this week. Must be nice to spend 8 days in Colorado. That's a long vacation. I don't mean to judge or pocket watch, but I'm going to do both of those right now.
8 days on vacation? What's that, his honeymoon?
He left last Tuesday. He left last Tuesday morning, and he's coming back Wednesday morning. So it's 7 days there, but like 8 days being gone.
Some people just aren't committed to this alcohol-infused podcast.
I would hate to be those people. So welcome back. Thank you for hanging out. Hey, we don't really ask for a lot often. If you could do us a couple of quick things, if you could share this, that would be awesome. If you're in a whiskey group and you want to share this in a whiskey group, we would certainly appreciate that. You might get banned, but it's worth it to make TJ happy.
Who would ban you? Who would ban that? Has that happened to you?
No, I'm not gotten banned. I'm just, some whiskey groups don't want you to like promote other stuff, but whatever. I mean, you know, do it anyway.
It's not competition.
Yeah, take a shot and do it anyway, you know.
Oh, my God.
If you could also rate this, if you're listening to this, if you're on Apple Podcasts, if you're on Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever, rate this. If you're on Apple, it's 5 stars. Other places, they have different rating systems, but they don't really count because they make up of like a total of like 20% of all podcast listens. So it's mostly Apple. If you're on Apple, 5 stars, leave a review. We'd appreciate it. Again, social media, YouTube, subscribe, all that stuff.
Yeah, subscribe on YouTube. YouTube audience has grown a little bit, so keep that up. That helps us when you subscribe and give it a little thumbs up. Yeah. Does it hurt us when they give a thumbs down? Does that hurt us? Or is it as long as they're engaging?
Probably. Engagement helps. The thumbs up us. Give a thumbs
Please
up.
Please give us a thumb up.
Now, it is true, though. Hundreds of you listen weekly. Sometimes thousands. The couple thousand weeks have really made me happy. Hundreds of you listen a week. Go find us on YouTube and just give us a quick subscribe and a thumbs up. We'd appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We need to do a giveaway soon. Let's do a giveaway soon.
Because Ben's not here to eat. Ben has a bottle of Pappy just sitting around. Let's do that. So if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel and you listen to us in the podcast form, be known, like, we do rapid reviews and there's extra content on the YouTube page, especially with local based stuff for TJ and Ben. Store picks and whatnot down in Tampa area. So if you're in the Tampa area and you love the local flair that they bring to the podcast, that's more prevalent on the YouTube channel. So there you go.
Got a local addition to our pursuits and purchases today. So
future spoiler.
Gonna love that. Okay. Since Ben's not here, let's talk a little sports before we get into whiskey. You're not really, it's March Madness. Mm-hmm. You're not watching the tournament as much as I wish you were.
I haven't watched it at all, so.
So that's, I wish you were watching more.
I've been knee deep in like scouting guys for the NFL draft and being nerdy that way, because that's about a month away. So I've been doing that.
We may have to do a draft. Oh, that's a fun idea. Write that down.
Content ideas. Yeah. Where's Forrest when we need him?
Yeah. Congratulations to Forrest. I know you guys, we introduced you to him. You knew him for like 2 months and then he left. He'll come back, I hope. But congratulations to Forrest and the family. They welcomed a new addition. It was a baby, not like a dog or a pile of bourbon, but a new addition to the family. But some more madness. I think there's a large intersection. The Venn diagram of people that watch this show or listen to this show and either follow, like, are aware of FSU athletics, or the Venn diagram's, you know, it's a complete circle. So yesterday, FSU played a game at noon. A rather long game, because I think the final score was like 15-3 or 17-5 or something. Like, it was a high scoring long game, but it was part of a doubleheader. And then that second game went 17 innings. The first pitch of the first game was at noon. The game was over at 9. Like, the second game was over at 9:51. 10 hours out of the baseball field. I watched the first 5 or 6 innings, I think, of the second game, or just kind of followed it. Like, I was watching March Madness, but kind of had it on the computer too, just to kind of see how the boys were doing. And then Karen and I went to dinner about 30 minutes away. came, ate dinner, got ice cream, came back from dinner, and I watched the last two innings here at the house. So that's how long the game was. You were going to go to a game a few weeks ago. I know you're not like, I don't think you're the biggest baseball fan in the world, but, you know, enough to go to a game here or there, casual fan. Mm-hmm. How long would you have stayed at a 17 inning baseball game? And it wasn't, I will say, it wasn't super late in the night. Like, the game was over by like 9:51. So it wasn't like,
yeah, it was Sunday.
The game started at 7 and it was over at 2 a.m.
Ashley and I go to maybe a couple games each year. She really loves baseball. I just like the atmosphere a lot. It's a really, really great time for FSU home games. The animals are great, and it's a good product typically too. So it is a fun bang for your buck proposition to go and watch baseball. That being said, I don't know when the last time we stayed for a full game was, TJ. We usually get there for like 5 or 6 innings, and unless it's like something great's happening, we'll dip out. So there's no way in hell I would have stayed for 17 innings unless it was like a elimination game or something like that in a regional round. So yeah, there's no way you would have caught me staying at baseball for 10 hours. That's madness. Even if I was getting paid to cover the baseball team, I probably would have dipped out for like an hour or two.
Poor Brett, right?
Yeah. Well, welcome to the beat, Brett.
He was tweeting gifts and just begging for the game.
He's in college. What else is he going to be doing with his free time on a Sunday evening?
Sheesh. Sleeping? Partying? Hopefully it's Tallahassee, Florida. Today. You know? Yeah, no, pretty insane. I don't know that I could – so if I was in Tallahassee for the game, I would stay because, like, what am I going to do? Just, okay, well, I'm going to go to Hobbit now, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I probably would have stayed. But, yeah, I don't stay for the whole Rays games much anymore. If it's late in the season or it's really important, I want to see the end. That's mm-hmm. one thing.
I think that's part of the – it's so early in the year still. Yeah.
Yeah. Or if it was, like, you're playing UF, that would have been a different – you know, you're playing, like, a big rival or something. Like, that would probably be a little bit different. But – yeah, so insanity. Again, if I was up in Tallahassee for the game, I would have stayed for it, but otherwise I'm not staying for a 17 inning game. But like, when do you leave? Like, that's what's so hard is like, when do you leave? Like, because you're like, oh well, something will happen this inning, or certainly, like, how do you get up in the 16th, you know? If you're and that's the thing, if you're at the 16th inning, you can't leave after that. You just have to wait it out, right? Like, you're that invested.
Since this is an alcohol-based podcast, they do have a very solid beer selection, local craft beers at baseball. So that probably would have helped pass the time a little bit if I did commit to staying for extra innings and then almost, a full game extra inning.
The last time I was at FSU baseball game, I had stuff from Ology, right?
And mm-hmm.
So I was in a box, not trying to flex too hard, but that's a lot of bourbon to have. 17 innings worth of bourbon. And they don't cut you off. Like, you know, if you're just ordering the concessions, I think they have a cutoff time, don't they? Maybe not.
Well, they need to reopen it when you go to extra innings. Like, there needs to be a point where you're like,
I don't think they do. So, okay. Well, that was madness. This is madness too. We've had some madness on the show. think, use words. We're going to continue that. We pre-recorded this for you guys because we knew you'd be sad if you couldn't hear Ben's takes on this. But we mm-hmm. have the next half of the Elite Eight. We did half one last week. We're doing half two this week. We pre-recorded this, so I'm going to movie magic, edit this in, cut this in to what we're doing. But we have – what do we have, Brendan? We have Hancock against Blanton's.
We do. So Blanton's versus Baby Blanton's.
Buffalo Trace.
Yep. Yeah. It's a 2-10 and a 3-6.
Against the, I don't want to say the GOAT, but just like the most well known. Like, Buffalo Trace is certainly the most well known one.
The OG. It's the OG of the, well, it's not even the original because they didn't even have a Buffalo Trace bourbon. People would go to Buffalo Trace Distillery and were like, I want Buffalo Trace bourbon. And a marketing person was like, yo, guys, you need to have a Buffalo Trace bourbon on hand. But it's the most well known now for sure.
So let's cut to that. Let's go to that. We'll be back afterwards to talk about it and wrap up the show. Welcome back to Bourbon on a Budget. We knew that Ben was going to be missing this episode, so I don't know why. Wah-wah. Again, Henry is on the bottom of that name there, but this is reverse. This is back in time. You guys are going back to the past. It's not back. I don't get sued for the future. Oh no! Shh. We'll get sued. This is round three.
Great Scott! Well,
it's really just the second part of round two. It's week three. Second part of round two. We did week one. We did round one in week one. We did
round two. Week two.
Did you just have a sip of bourbon, Brendan? What's going on? I remember my first bourbon.
Yelling out Great Scott was not a good idea.
So we did week two was the first half of round two. Week three, here we are, the second half of round two. We will be down to the final four after this, gentlemen, so I'm excited. What do we have tonight? We have a competition between Elmer T. Lee and Buffalo Trace.
Two seed versus 10.
And then we've got Hancock, a six seed, correct, against Blanton's, a three. 6-3.
Hancock, so I barely know.
Brendan lives his life.
I feel like a six seed, like that's like a prime Arizona territory, like a six seed all the way up to a three. Like they're probably taking Michigan on right now.
Oh my God, that's perfect. Yes.
Doesn't that feel like the tournament? Like that feels like that would be like a pretty accurate matchup for like an average year.
And you lost Ben. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I lost Ben when he didn't show up for this episode and we had to record it 2 weeks early. So let's jump into it. Which one do you guys want to go with for? Okay. What do you think? Elmer T and Buffalo Trace first. I like it. Okay, we can do that. We'll do that.
I like how you asked for your. I like you. That's for your opinion.
You know why I was going to go with the other one? We'll go with Ben's first. But I was going to go with the other one because I think it's going to be a closer matchup. So I wanted like a sharper palette. But I'm good with Ben's.
Yeah,
I'm
good with Ben's. Get acclimated with Buffalo Trace and Elmer T.
Okay. Well, I was acclimated with the grape juice I had before this, but sure.
All right, so Elmer T. Lee was a two seed in our tournament. It is a big boy bourbon in the Buffalo Trace line, one that you can occasionally find in a store. If you do, it's probably not going to be the $40 MSRP. No. I think I saw it at $250, maybe $300 on my travels recently. Actually, back coming up from Tampa after I saw you guys a few weeks back. And I passed on it for that. I got my Elmer T. Lee in the vault about a year or so ago. No, I actually had a Weller 12 and I traded it for Elmer T. Lee and gave him like $20 on top of it to kind of even it out. So
so basically cost you $50, it sounds like.
Yeah, essentially. 30 in a 20. Bottle. Yeah. So it's a 90 proof bottle, sour mash, single barrel, and it is the mash bill 2 line, which will be a common theme in this portion of the bracket. Basically, the mash bill 2 for Buffalo Trace is higher rye, I think 12 to 15%. So no age statement on this. I'm trying to see what else we got. I'll give you a little background on who Elmer T. Lee is, because he's actually the guy who helped popularize Blanton's on the other side of this bracket. He was one of the master distillers at Buffalo Trace for 36 years before retiring in 1985, and he passed in 2013, RIP. As the pioneer of mass-produced single-barrel bourbons, Elmer was responsible for bringing the first mass-produced single barrel for consumers known as Blanton's.
Blanton's.
Thanks, guys. He was pretty big in getting single-barrel bourbon to become a thing. On the other side of the bracket is Buffalo Trace. We've talked about this already, you guys. If you're listening, watching, you probably know what Buffalo Trace is. That's a 10-seed, 90-proof, 6 to 8-year-old bourbon. A lower rye mash bill and pretty readily available, $23, $24 MSRP, but what would you say, maybe like $30 on average to find it in a store? So yeah, be contrasting styles here tonight, gentlemen.
Very different styles. I like the proofs are very similar. Can you talk to us a little bit about, so it's a single barrel sour mash, but it like literally on the bottle, it says single barrel sour mash. And it also is a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. Can you speak to that a little bit? Something that's a sour mash and bourbon at the same time? Or is that just like marketing? Or
no, sour mash is a process.
Sour mash is a process. Do you want to go on that, Ben?
Yeah. So let's start breaking it down bit by bit. Give me the first two pieces.
Single barrel, sour mash.
Okay, so single barrel. That's one barrel. That's pretty self-explanatory. Sour mash. And sour mash is a process within whiskey making. I'm probably a little bit wrong on this, but I think some of the mash as a distill is reserved and put back in it's put into the mash process again. So you're kind of keeping like a mother, like when you're making like sourdough, there's like a mother starter and you kind of pull from that. It's similar here. Brendan has some big definition I'm not going to read because I can't read and speak at the same time.
How next do you read? Just read out loud.
You were in class with me. It's impossible.
I know. Whenever we were in high school.
What is this?
Listen, whenever we were in high school. Oh man, I forgot about this till just now. Yeah, I cannot wait to talk with other people about it. They would like a teacher calling you to read or something.
Oh, popcorn. I can't do that.
And so
the game popcorn. Yeah, yeah.
And then we'd call on somebody. Everyone would always pick Ben every single time.
I'm terrible at it.
What? You can't read. Great. You can't read out loud. Is that what this?
Yeah, I can't. I can't read aloud. That's impossible.
Interesting.
Anyway, the next two things: straight bourbon whiskey, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that just means it's
51% corn, at least.
Right, 2 years old minimum. So that's about it. So yeah,
cool. Yeah, so Brendan's big long diatribe that Ben couldn't get through. Sour mash is a process used in the distilling industry that uses material from an older batch of mash to start the fermentation of a new batch, similar to the making of sourdough bread.
I'm a freaking genius.
That's basically what Ben
said. They even took my metaphor.
Oh. One thing to say is that sour mash, typically, like, you hear the name sour mash, you think it's going to be sour, but usually it portends to, like, a sweeter bourbon.
Usually sweeter, yeah.
Yeah.
So are all, like, a sour mash could theoretically be a rye. Right, you could have a sour mash rye.
I guess
right?
So. I don't know if I've heard of that, but I'm sure that I've
never seen that. But sour mash is like not all sour mashes are whiskey. Or I'm sorry, are bourbon. Obviously, they are all whiskey.
Let me look that up. Sour mash.
So this is a process. I think it could be any kind.
But I've just never seen or heard of that.
Yeah. Interesado.
We should do that. We should do that.
We should make. We should just do make our own distillery.
Just start distilling.
Yeah, start fermenting.
Yeah.
A little bit more information on Elmer T. Lee that I just looked up. I looked up Elmer T. There's no age statement. I looked up Elmer T. Lee age. He was 93 when he died. That wasn't really what I was going for, but that is what I found. It's estimated between...
Google didn't quite get the understand search.
I can understand why. Named after a person. A little further looking there, a little more research, 7 to 12 years old, which... For a single barrel, like, that's a pretty drastic difference. We're not talking about, like, Buffalo Trace between 8 and 10. 7 and 12 years old, that 5 years can make a pretty big difference. So mileage will vary greatly with this single barrel expression.
I want to hear Brendan's thoughts on the nose on these two first, because I will say, Ben and I just opened up a brand-new Buffalo Trace to do this. And so I'm thinking that may have a little bit of an impact on what I'm getting here. But I do want Brendan to go first on the nose on Buffalo Trace and Elmer T. Lee.
I
know what I'm thinking.
You know, Ben, I was talking so much so far. You go ahead and start off with this, and then I'll chime in. Because my initial thought is there wasn't a huge distinction, but I'm trying to get into this a little bit here.
Interesting. So in my head, I would say the pungency of both noses, I think, is pretty strong. Like, they're both very enjoyable to nose, right? I think the Buffalo Trace to me has more caramel notes. I also think it's interesting. So just knowing the facts of the mash bill too, and it being like more rye heavy, I would think more spice on the nose, but I'm almost getting like the Elmer T. Lee is more buttery on the nose.
I was going to go bready. So bread and butter, maybe?
Right.
Like, which bready makes sense with the extra mash.
Yeah,
you know, so it's interesting. Like, in my head, I'm thinking it's supposed to be spicier and whatever, but I get
more. The Buffalo Trace has a stronger nose to me. Again, we just opened the bottle, so it hasn't had time to kind of open and aerate it all. Like the Elmer T. Lee is, you know, I know this is not a brand new bottle that Brendan opened today, but the Buffalo Trace nose is way sweeter. Like, it's way more caramelly, vanilla, sugar. You know, it's like apple pie in a glass. Like,
both do have the apple vibe. I got it.
There's a crisp green apple on the Elmer T. Lee, whereas I get way more caramel and sugar on the Buffalo Trace.
So the Buffalo Trace, as it's opened up, as I've noticed, is its notes. I think it has less notes, but they're appearing a little bit. They're striking me a little bit more. A little bit more, I guess, hitting me over the head. The Elmer T. Lee, I will say there's a nice little, like, delicateness too, almost like a floral type of vibe too. I don't know if that's the sour mash. I don't know if that's the higher rye. Potentially.
Definitely rye.
Yeah. You got it? You got like the kind of the floral crispness of it? Okay.
Yeah.
I like the Buffalo Trace nose better. But I'll just say that. Like, I don't
know. It's weird how, like, this should be like open and close, but it's not. This one's not.
Well, again, they're similar in a lot of ways. The biggest difference
is a decimal point.
Yeah, the biggest difference is just how many they make, right? Now, I am sure the sour mash process takes longer, and so that's why it's roughly $30 more, you know, retail. But
does the rest of the Mashville 2 line sour mash, or is this the first one that does?
No,
Blanton's sour mash.
Oh, I don't think Blanton's. This is the only one that I know of that actually says sour mash on it. I don't think Blanton says that on it.
Yeah. Okay, so it could just be Elmer Teeley line. Interesting.
Yeah, it's not. They would say it on the website here, but no, it's definitely not.
You know what I can go for right now? Benchmark, old number 8.
Jeez, what a nightmare.
I go for 8 of them. Okay, let's talk about the taste. Wait. I like Buffalo Trace better on the nose. You guys are in agreement there?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more depth to the Elmer Teeley, so maybe it's a higher quality nose, but in terms of just enjoying it, I would lean towards, now, if I'm not being snobby here, Buffalo Trace is more fun to smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about this. We vary and differ on what we like to taste in a bourbon. Ben likes more spice. I like sweeter stuff. Brendan's kind of a mix of both. We're all pretty much in agreement that we want the nose of a bourbon to be sweet, right? Like we've all kind of gotten there. And so like, I think the Buffalo Trace checks that box and that's where we are. Have you tasted them yet, Ben?
Oh,
yeah. Did you mix up your samples?
Pretty much drank.
Not sure?
No, I pretty much drank all of them, both of them so far. Here's an interesting kind of change. I feel like you're right. The nose on the Buffalo Trace, I think, is a little bit better. But when you get to palate, I think this is where the difference mainly is. There's a shallowness to the Buffalo Trace where it's kind of just like, I can't really dig into it. But with the Elmer T, there's way more depth, in my opinion. Like, I can explore some different flavors. But I think with the Buffalo Trace, it's very one note. It's like, here it is, a little bit of caramel, a little bit of apple, and then it's gone.
Well, that's two notes.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's like, that's it, right?
And just a tiny bit of cinnamon and a little bit of cream. It's like an apple pie in a glass.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, the Elmer T, there's definitely more depth there. Where the shallowness and thinness of the Buffalo Trace is prevalent.
What depth, Ben, are you picking up? Like, what notes? I got a few in mind. I want to see what you're thinking, what you're picking up that's giving it a little bit more nuance, a little more interest than the
Buffalo Trace. Yeah, so to me, it starts sweet, and then it gets over to the floral bitter side. So, like, floral, almost like almond, those kind of notes. But definitely kind of, like, almost like, not quite lemon, but I can... Like I said, it goes for sweetness, but then it kind of changes into a more savory, which I like.
There's more of a leather vibe to it as well than just Buffalo Trace has. It's not like full on, you know, a cigar blend of a, you know, it's not like that.
It's not overly sweet.
But there's some good spice there. I don't know if it's a cinnamon or what kind of spice I'm thinking of, but there's definitely more than the Buffalo Trace. It's more complex for sure. Brendan, what were your notes? Sorry, I jumped in front of you.
That's okay. I'm still trying to kind of figure out the Elmer Teeley isn't like screaming at me here. Like it's not distinguishing itself.
It's definitely more delicate.
It is. Delicate's a good way to place it. Some of the like the buttery note that Ben mentioned. I'm Brendan. On the nose is showing up on the palate with the mouth feel. It's got a nice smoothness to it, like mouth coating kind of vibe. There's no extreme like sharp edges to this. Like with the Buffalo Trace, you get some of that woodiness from, you know, the caramel, the vanilla, then like the wood spice, just kind of shinier, I guess. The Elmer Teeley is just more balanced overall. I don't know though, fellas, if I can like confidently say that's equating to more enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it's I can confidently say higher quality, but I don't necessarily know that I just put that to better. This is preference, right? Like, this is your preference. This is not like,
right,
ooh, what do I think they spent more time making and what tastes more complex? Like, now, if you like more complex bourbons and that puts it over the top for you, then that's fine. But yeah, this is not, you don't have to just say like, what's the better one? I also, Ben, remember, if Elmer T. Lee moves on, Brendan has to send another sample of it because he only sent one. So
I think factor that into your rating.
Yeah, so am I. What do you like, Brendan?
No, I mean, I don't mind. Guys, I've had this for 2 years, and like, I think it's just indicative. I'm not saving this because this is amazing quality, and I don't want
to love it.
It's fine. This is just so like, it's a $40 MSRP, and that's what this bottle should be. It's a solid bourbon.
It gets way overhyped. But it's not as good as it gets hyped. A 90 proof that you're paying like $300 for? Come on.
It's a toughie. Honestly, and we have to choose like the finish.
Are we considering pricing this? Or are we just bottle?
That's to your preference.
In my head, there's no price involved. It's just what do you want to drink?
In my head, it's what's better. Yeah.
To me, it's what's better. Elmer T. Lee. I think if it's close, I would factor in price. I honestly like Buffalo Trace. I'm enjoying it more for my preference with the sweetness. It's close. Okay. But I'm going to go Buffalo Trace. TJ, if you wanted a sample of Elmer T. Lee, be my guest. Pick Elmer T. Lee.
Yeah.
This is disappointing that it's this close. This is a 2 versus a 10. This is something that should be that on the secondary is $300 versus something that you can find pretty much anywhere at 25. The fact that it's not blown out of the water is upsetting to me.
No, I don't think
Elmer,
it's
Elmer would be way better.
Yeah, I mean, but so would a higher proof Buffalo Trace. You know, like
if I don't
Buffalo
so. Trace,
we didn't Buffalo have Stag Jr. proof in this tournament for a reason because it would just blown through everything.
So I like I got Buffalo Trace in this. I'm not, you know.
Wow.
It's sweeter. Wow.
You guys are so one note.
It's more enjoyable. Yeah. I'm
so wrong with this. This is a wrong choice.
William Mary.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I'm not going to be here for when this airs because you guys are going to get crushed.
We are. I think we are. Joe is going to cry.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Bourbon on a budget. We are trying to sift through the bullcrap, Ben, and give people the best idea of what they should be spending.
We're not talking about budget. This is not budget. This is just better. Bourbon on a better.
This is better.
Okay. Bold move, Cotton. Anyway, next one.
Wow, I think Buffalo Trace is slightly better as well.
All right. So there we go.
Wow.
Wow.
What's the other matchup here?
All right, so we're moving on to our 3 versus 6 seed. The 6 seed is, we did this 2 weeks ago, Hancock Single Barrel Reserve, President's Reserve. It is at 44.45 times 2. 88.9, that's a really weird proof to land at. And this is basically poor man blends, right? This is Mash Bill 2. It's not readily available, but you can go to a...
that sounds like a nightmare.
Total Wine gets this fairly often.
Fairly often. Bros, there's going to be a Total Wine opening in Tallahassee. That's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Game changer. So yeah, okay. You can find it for about 50, 60 bucks at Total Wine fairly regularly. It is,
what are they up against?
They are up against the same mash bill. I think it's in different warehouses. Blanton's, the original single barrel bourbon. We've talked about this before on the show. Most people, if you're into bourbon and watching us, you're going to know that it's got a little horse on the top. It's got a little hand grenade type of bottle. Blanton's is at 93 proof. MSRP is $65. You actually can find it sometimes at that, but the secondary jacks it up like, what, 250, 200 sometimes? Maybe, yeah, 200, 250, right? Maybe 150. So anyways, that's what we got here. Blanton's versus Hancock. They're probably going to be very similar. They're similar proof, similar mash bill, but that's what we're going to hear to find out. So who's nosing? Any thoughts, any opinions?
Yeah. How about this? My opinion is that it's the same mash bill that we were just dealing with Elmer T.
Yep.
But that butteriness, almond, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's I feel like that sour mash really is effective here.
Mm-hmm.
And if it were me, at least because the problem with single barrels, they're gonna differ. You know, they're gonna differ. Yeah. So the single barrel we have is from 2019. I'm not sure what his Hancock one is. But anyway, I feel like I'm leaning towards the Hancock for the nose. Like I get like a more fruity vibe on the Hancock.
Sweeter Hancock.
Yeah. I get a more like fruity. Yeah, like a strawberry, like a chocolate covered strawberry. See that? Not like a dark chocolate.
No, like a milk chocolate. Yeah, of course. For Blanton's, so I'm getting the sweetness as well, Ben, and fruity. But for the Blanton's, what I'm liking about it, cinnamon, just typical bourbon stuff, right? Yeah. Cinnamon, vanilla. But if you go a little deeper, I'm getting some like leather, some tobacco, some of those darker notes that I think you find that in Eagle Rare sometimes too. Some of the older Buffalo Trace line will provide, and some dark cherry too. What are your thoughts, TJ? I know what I'm leaning towards right now on the nose.
Man, I do think they're also both very similar. I almost think, okay, am I crazy for this one? Yes. Ben's going to hate me for this, but I think that the nose on the Hancock is almost better. It's almost artificially sweet. I don't know. It's almost too sweet. Is that
what
crazy?
What are you talking about?
I'm getting like the cherry on it kind of tastes like cherry medicine to me.
Like aspartame-y kind of?
I wouldn't say aspartame. More so like, more so like cherry medicine. Not aspartame.
Like cough syrup. Dude, now that you said that, I can't not think of that. Yeah.
I just don't drink cherry medicine like ever. It's such an off profile flavor for me.
What do you do? Grape medicine when you're sick?
I don't really do medicine. Throat? Like the whole entire, yeah. I don't know.
You got a little boo-boo? The Elmer T. Lee nose, by the way, compared, I just went and sniffed that. They're going out of order here. Was better than the Hancock, comparatively, but that's gone. It's dead. I like the Blanton's nose better.
I'll probably go with the Blanton's nose as
I'm
well.
I'm going Hancock.
Well, of course you are, because it's got your name in it. So, yeah. Makes sense.
This is an interesting one.
Have we started tasting yet?
Yeah, I'm going back and forth. My initial thought is I like the finish on the Hancock more, but I like the entire process of the Blanton's more. It has a little bit more spice up front, a little more drama to it. You get the barrel spice, get a little bit of a dark chocolate note, very dark cherry, very woody. Not a ton of drama in either of these, but I think the Hancock starts very thin and then ends well, but I'm enjoying the Blanton's process more head-to-head.
I think this is where Blanton's is pulling away from me. I think the finish on the Hancock is bad. Like, it finishes bitter to me. Like, those, like, to me, cheaper bourbon finishes, like, bitter as opposed to, like, aromatic or savory. And so it finishes bitter for me. Whereas the Blanton's finish doesn't really. I mean, it's 90 proof, so it doesn't really do much. But it's not unpleasant like the Hancock. So Blanton's is pulling away.
Woo!
Pulling away.
Yeah, I think the Blanton's takes this pretty easily. What did the Hancock go up against last? Oh, Ancient Age, which I don't think the Ancient Age was as bad as the benchmark, but
Ancient Age is poor man's Hancock, and
the
Hancock
problem is that if TJ ever gets artificial sweetness on a nose or a palate, he can't.
He's done.
There's
he's
no
done.
Recovery from that. Doesn't matter
who wants to. I mean, how many people could come back from that? How many people could get artificial sweetness?
Wrong. I'm just saying that what you're picking up is incorrect. So you just can't. Shift your mind.
Let me add a little water, see if it opens.
It smells like
add water.
It smells like sawdust and vomit. Like when you put a Mardi Gras to
add some water
sawdust
to
over
it.
Vomit.
Open it up. It's like opening up basil.
The Hancock nose is not good. It's okay. Very boring and got a little weird bitterness to it. I don't know if I'd say artificial sweetness, but there is this weird. It's not good. It's bitter.
All right, so make the call. I'm voting Blanton's here.
Blanton's.
Oh wow, I thought we were crapping on TJ for crapping on the Hancock.
No,
it was just your note of the Blanton's. Nose of the Hancock. All right, Blanton's. It is unanimous.
So that sets up a fun Final Four matchup for the championship. Okay. Buffalo Trace.
Jeez.
Not on every single shelf everywhere, but fairly readily available against Blanton's, which is very tough to find, right? Not impossible by any means, but that's a fun Final Four matchup.
Is Eagle Rare, did Eagle Rare get voted out already?
Yeah, by Zazarek. I feel like just the way that this bracket unfolded, we tried to do it based on secondary price and availability kind of factored into the top half of the bracket is so much stronger. Sasserac versus Eagle Rare. Then like in the Final Four, it's Weller 12 versus Saz versus Weller Winner 7 versus Colonel E.H. Taylor. Yeah. Like, I think that this path has been a little bit easier in my estimation.
On the lower end of the bracket. I think you got E.H. But we did that intentionally. We wanted this to be the Mashbill 2 bracket. You know, having the Wellers and the Saz and the Eagle Rare. I mean, we did put some bangers up, but sometimes that's how the bracket works out. Sometimes you've got, you know, somebody has to go up against Gonzaga, and that's
who's life. Gonzaga? Who's Gonzaga in this?
Gonzaga.
You know what I'm pouring right now?
Sazerac. Can Sazerac?
No, it's a you know, it's Weller 12. Huh. The favorite.
A bottle you, that a pour that I poured the other day, like incorrectly, I think, because I wasn't doing the tasting, and I liked it, and so I'm gonna go to Ancient Age right now.
Ooh, wow, going back in proof. All right.
Is it what's Ancient Age proof?
80. I should have told you. I should have let you try to.
No, he didn't know.
Oh yeah. It's like water. Jeez. I really enjoyed it the other day when we had it because we were drinking Benchmark or whatever. And I remember thinking, like, this is like not bad. The nose is really decent on it. What's the price of Ancient Age? Do we know?
Like $12 and readily available.
The amount of Ancient Age that I would drink before drinking one sip of Benchmark is unheard of.
Ancient Age might be a good like palate setter.
Dude, I would pour this.
Ancient Age would be good if you were really really drunk and you needed to sober up. Ancient Age would be good to help you.
I'm saying to start, like,
bring it back.
I'm saying to start the night with that. You're saying the fur effect to kind of get us out of the haze and like kind of like slow down the hangover process. Okay.
I have some people in my bourbon journey I have some people that are in their bourbon journey that just can't really drink strong whiskey. And I feel like Ancient Age is going to be like the key. That's going to unlock it. I may just get a bottle of this to have it just so I can make cocktails out of it for people who don't like whiskey. That's how good it is. For $12?
We need to review it once we're kind of past this Buffalo Trace. We'll mix it up a little bit. We'll review that. Maybe
I mean,
we'll
it is like
that water. That can be a Ben's pack. That can be a Ben's, though.
He's going to press his guest with that.
Dude, I mean, it drinks like nothing. Interesting. That is very intriguing to me. Okay.
Drinks like nothing.
All right. So next week, we have the Final Four. You guys excited for that?
Can't wait, baby.
I can't wait to see who's in the Final Four.
Who's in the other two? No, thank you guys for hanging out with us. We're going to go back to our main show and get rid of Ben.
Get out of Ben.
This has been fun. I'm enjoying
Goodbye, my friend.
The Buffalo Trace tournament. Could Buffalo Trace win this thing? They could. Buffalo Trace could beat Blanton's next week. I think that's I think Buffalo Trace might end up in the final. We'll see. We might have to do these blind.
Michael these Scott said, blind. I don't want the whole thing. I just want a taste.
Touch my heart, touch my soul.
Back to the main show. See you guys. See you, Ben. All right. So Buffalo Trace moving on.
Surprise.
Not as surprising that Blanton's moves on. When you've got baby Blanton's up against Blanton's, you kind of expect that. But Buffalo Trace moving on. Buffalo Trace, I think, could beat Blanton's. Same proof. I'm not saying it will, but that's going to be an interesting Final Four matchup there.
We must not like the Mashbill 2, although, spoiler alert, we may like it as a mistake when it's proofed up a little bit. So I don't know if that's what the deal is the proof on these, but I mean, Buffalo Trace was 90 and Elmer T. Lee was 90. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Other side of the bracket, as you remember from last week, E.H. Taylor Sorry, mm-hmm. Colonel. Up against Weller 12.
I almost did the Elmer T. Lee, E.H. Taylor confusion when I was talking about Elmer T. Lee a second ago. So understandable. Would you say early pick, TJ? Like, who do I think will win?
Yeah.
I think we're going to end up – I mean, it's going to be interesting because there's age with, like, the oakiness that's helping Weller 12. But I think the proof advantage will go to E.H. Taylor is my gut. I think we'll see 5-1 is my gut.
I didn't love, you know, I voted for the Sazerac. Mm-hmm. I wasn't blown away by the Weller 12. And so I that's my lean too. I think E.H. Taylor gets it. And I think Blands pulls the upset. I can't remember them both exactly in my mind, like to be able to like have a really, really strong opinion on that. But I do think Blands is going to pull the upset.
And win the whole thing?
Blands and E.H. Taylor. No, I do think E.H. Taylor probably beat that out in the end because they're similar, but the proof is, I think, going to be enough to do it.
I'm rooting for Buffalo Trace. I'm rooting for. Well, I mean, yeah, if E.H. Taylor advances and plays Buffalo Trace, I think that would win pretty handily. I think maybe Blanton's will give it a puncher's chance, but I'm rooting for Buffalo Trace. I want the Cinderella story. I want the 10 seed to win.
Yeah, I want Buffalo Trace to win it too. I think that we're going to get a lot of hate if that happens, and that just is something that would make me happy. So, another thing that makes me really happy is pursuits and purchases. Ooh. Do you have any pursuits? Do you have any purchases? What's going on with you this week?
I've been a little slow on the purchases, trying to cut back a little bit. But, well, first off, I got a selection of Samps sent to me by fan of the show and friend Jason Noe. Let's see. There was all sorts of stuff. I think we're going to taste some of these together because I think he sent you and Ben down similar stuff. But he gave me a couple of different unique ones for myself to try like in my own spare time. And I got into Blue Note 17 year, which you guys reviewed rapid style about a month or two ago.
You should
ago.
Rapid that. Did you already finish yours?
I drink it all. I really enjoyed the hell out of it too. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I guess it's too late. This is my rapid review right now. No, I thought it was great. It reminded me, and I didn't even think about, like, it wasn't something I thought about going into it, of the Wild Turkey Bottle and Bond from the Masters Keep edition. And that was a 17-year-old. And if I recall correctly, you and Ben did not like it. You also did not like the Blue Note 17 that much, probably relative to its price point, if I'm not mistaken. So I think what we have here is just you guys don't like fine, mature, delicious, aged bourbon.
Well, we're not mature, so that kind of makes sense.
That is true. But yeah, it had both were very similar palette wise, like the dark, deep oakiness and cherry and caramel and vanilla. Like it was just a very basic bourbon profile, just like amped up to like 15. It was really, really, really intense. So I enjoyed the hell out of the 17 year. Thank you, Jason. And then for pursuits, I have not purchased it yet. I will do so probably in like 5 minutes whenever we wrap up the show, TJ. I've been on the lookout for it for a little while. It's Middle West Spirits straight rye whiskey, but it's got pumpernickel in the mash bill, which I am very intrigued by. It's an Ohio-based distillery, so we haven't been able to find it here in Tallahassee. I've had friends on the lookout for it, friends of the show. Jason has looked out for it. Sean ended up seeing it on a website he frequents occasionally to purchase bourbon on, and he sent me the link. So it's available for $45. Hopefully they can deliver it to me because I'm not a member of it. If not, I may need a friend, to help me out with it. But yeah, that's going to be my my next purchase is a pumpernickel rye, which could be interesting, right? It's going to go one way or the other. I don't think it'll be average.
That's right. It will be.
I don't get it. So that's rye. Mine. What about you? You like that?
I don't Finger know guns. That I'm pursuing anything specifically. Shout out Jason. He shot me some stuff as well. Hasn't come in yet, unless it's just coming today and I haven't checked the mail. But I don't know that I'm pursuing anything. He did send me a tip or a lead on some Old Forester barrel strength rye.
Ooh.
It was a little under secondary, but it was still pretty far over what I was willing to pay. Mm-hmm. We talked about this, kind of what you'll pay versus, you know, whatever. And I also didn't, you know, there wasn't enough, like, honestly, there just wasn't enough profit margin to make it make sense to get it and then send it secondary. So I just passed. But I was tempted. It was just a lot. It was just still too much. So I'm still kind of pursuing an Old Forester barrel strength rye. Ben's talked about that as well, something we both want to try. Heard a tip that someone here locally May have one coming out. And so I'm kind of, that's another reason I didn't purchase it when he showed it to me. Because I think I'm getting one soonish.
Wow. I'm sure that's going to be amazing.
I'm very excited for it. And yeah, no, that's one that
we,
I'm.
We love their rye about. And their barrel strength bourbons have been pretty spectacular every time we've gotten samples of them. So yeah, I would expect high quality from Old Forester with the barrel strength rye.
So I will say this as well. I have a couple of bottles of Penelope toasted and one Penelope barrel strength that I just bought too many of them. If you're interested, you can slide in my DMs and we can talk about them.
Do a trade, a perfectly legal trade. You're not going to flip it or sell it again.
Absolutely. Okay, I got something as well. I did purchase something. Excited for this. Look at this. A Elijah Craig private barrel proof store pick from Liquor Depot. We've done some reviews on Liquor Depot stuff. Shout out Trey and the guys over there. They're awesome on social media. They do a great job. I was able to get one of these on Saturday. They had a big release, which is really exciting. And then
those are becoming very popular, haven't they?
I'm excited to get you up a sample. I'm excited to open this. Same. Maybe I'll do that tonight. We'll see. Also, something else I got. Can you guess what else I got this weekend?
Guess. I know what you got. At least something that you got. You got a WB Staffel. I know that.
Nope, not that. I mean, that's not what I'm going to
say. Oh.
The goat of all goats.
Oh.
Old Forester 1910.
I saw Old Forester. I got really excited. Then I saw it was 1910.
Yeah, picked up a drinker from ABC. I picked some stuff up from ABC for Jason and something for some other people as well. And while I was in there, it said that it was double points. It had the black square. It wasn't. They just didn't update it. But it's all I knew. I'm going to drink it. I like 1910 a ton. So
it worked. You need to write an angry letter. Get your double points.
Probably not. I do. I like them a lot. I'm going to drink it anyway, so it's all good. Good stuff.
That is good stuff. Fun. And we got the WB Staffel, but you got that for Jason, correct?
Where do I have it? I did. It's right here. I can't find it. Here it is.
It's the cutest little bottle in the world. Look at it. It's a little mini bottle. It's not adorable. That's hilarious. It is really good stuff. I'm going to miss it when it's gone. I sent you guys up a sample. We should review that when we're out of the month.
You sent me a sample of that recently?
I think I brought it down.
Okay. I'll have to check on that. Because I don't... I need to try it. I need to try that for sure.
You should.
Because I there's more available. They're expensive though, like $53 for a 375. Like it's.
I was happy with this one, TJ. This was batch one, so I don't know if what you have is the batch two. I was happy with this. I don't know if I would go and get another. It's 107 proof. It's good juice inside. It's like different Wild Turkey products, like 8, 7, 11 years. I think it is something like that. Nose is really good. Tastes good. Proof. About perfectly right in the range that we like. It's really, really nice. It's just it is a lot. It's basically $100 for a bottle.
Yeah, which is tough. It's tough for me to spend that, but I will try yours soon. I'm gonna try yours soon and see how I like it. Maybe I'll rapid review that. We should do a rapid review together, just on here like this. A quick rapid review.
What are we doing our review for the week? It's gonna be Thursday when Ben's back in town.
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe Tuesday. We'll just do it Tuesday. Oh no, yeah, I have to be Wednesday. We'll do it like Wednesday night, maybe.
Okay. All right,
we'll be fine. Maybe we'll do that live. Maybe we'll do that one live since this was
kind of
pre-recorded. But for those that do that stuff regularly, we love you a little bit more. Brendan, do you have any shout outs or anything before we get out of here?
Shout out of here. No, I think we covered everything. Here's to no more double digit innings for baseball, right? Let's keep it single digits from here on out. Keep it nice and tight, baseball. Shout out a legend, Sue Semeraud just retired, right? Let's give her a shout out.
Yeah. Shout out Coach Sue. Shout out Gene Deckerhoff, also retired.
Pour one out for great careers.
Pour one out for them.
Yeah, a lot of legends. A lot of legends. All right, that's it.
Not unlike ourselves.
Ben's legend. A legend. We're missing our legend.
Okay. Yeah, we're legendless. All right, we'll be back on Thursday to review something. I don't even remember what it is at this point.
But I know.
Hopefully you guys like it. We will talk soon. Cheers.